Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Roxanne Tumala, and we're going to be talking about her new book, The Belief Challenge, How to Update Your Beliefs in Connection with Your Angels in Order to Manifest Everything You Desire. Are you tired of being stuck? You know the feeling. There are places in your life that always feel the same patterns that you always repeat, disappointments that are all too familiar. What would it be like if you had the power to change all that? The good news is that you have the power, and now you have Roxanne Tumala, Master of Manifestation, to help you revise and discard old, outdated beliefs that no longer serve your higher purpose. Roxanne is a board-certified holistic health coach, master in TCM, Transformational Coaching Method, and a member of AADP, the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. She is also the founder and owner of NHL Health Coach, where she works with individuals one-on-one and with teams in group programs. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Roxanne to the show. Good day, Roxanne.
Well, good afternoon, Robert.
I am happy to have you with me today and hopefully get our listeners some on the path to some new updated belief system. So, first of all, I want to start with what in your life, what led you to focus on beliefs and lead you to write this book?
Well, yes. So, I realized that I myself kept repeating unwanted patterns in areas of my life, and I, through my TCM transformational coaching methods, going through my certification, I was, one of the things that we were taught was the fact that beliefs means holding someone or something dear, and oftentimes those beliefs that were instilled in us as young children, there was good intentions behind them, but sometimes we need to update those beliefs and realize that we have to tweak them a little bit, and we're not hurting anyone by doing so. In fact, I think we're hurting ourselves if we don't take that opportunity to really delve deep into understanding what our beliefs are and how we can possibly update them so we can have the outcome that we are wishing for.
Okay, so, you know, let's talk a little bit about beliefs. You know, you mentioned that, about the childhood timing where many of these are formed. With that in mind, is it particularly difficult to change those that have been inked, you know, in our system so long ago?
I would say yes, it can be very difficult for people. It's almost like a habit too, right? That's hard to break. And and we're so fearful of hurting someone's feelings. And that's what I had to do, for instance, in relationships. I realized, you know, my parents meant well by having me believe that a certain type of man would fulfill me. And so I was always looking for that type of individual. And those relationships, they ended up failing miserably. So I had to really think long and hard about perhaps I wasn't right, looking for the right guy for me. And so when I opened up my mind and my heart And I reached out to God and my angels saying, please bring me the man that would be the one to provide me love, safety, and belonging. And I stayed very open-minded on what type of man that was going to be. And I'll tell you, it's funny, Robert, my fiancé is everything I thought I, you know, or what I believed that it was going to be the perfect person for me. And it turns out I've never been more in love and happy in a relationship in my life.
Yeah. So when, you know, speaking of the relationships and kind of what your parents instilled, what would be, quote, the right man, you know, versus your, you know, your understanding of who would be right for you. Do you feel that the difference between the two is that the parents are working from their belief system and not necessarily conscious or aware of what your needs might be?
Yes, I would say so. And some of this can, you know, these beliefs can go from generation to generation, and often, you know, or there's could be times that yes, that was spot on, but I think that again, there are times where we have to say, if things aren't working well, we need to try to find a better way, and that's where I discovered that understanding when those beliefs were even instilled in me, that. Again, there was good intentions behind it, but
yeah.
It was no longer, you know, really what was right for me.
Yeah, and quite honestly, you know, what's right for you, for most people, really doesn't come to awareness until later in life, you know. And sometimes it's that trial and error, you know. Well, that one wasn't
right. Oh, boy,
right,
yeah,
for me.
Decades of it. Yes, decades of trouble. It's taken me a long time to figure it out. You're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit. You mentioned, you know, that things, if things aren't working in one's life, you know, that might be the key or the, you know, that little clue to identifying that, you know, something's not working. So now how would one work back to recognizing that something's not working and try and identify the belief system that is maybe the source of that not working, that
mm-hmm.
what's broken?
Yes. So I would say that this too, one of the things that I practice that I like to do for myself is when I have a specific thing that I'm trying to change in my life, I like to look back at my past experiences. So, for instance, even with my career, I went back to my very first job as a babysitter. And what I did was I took pen and paper and I wrote down every single job I've ever done. And what did I get from that job? And what was lacking, and what did I learn? And so when I actually write things down on paper, it helps for me to come a little bit more clear on what all those experiences were like. And so, and every job, there was good and bad, but I was saying to myself, when was it when I was my most happy with the job that I was in? And that allowed me to be where I am today, where I'm completely satisfied in my career now. And so, again, being a child growing up,
yeah.
My parents' generation was, you know, you need to go off to college and be successful. And it turns out that I didn't actually finish 4 years of school, but I'm very successful individual. So again, that was a little belief that they had where the career was going to come from knowledge from a regular, you know, brick and mortar school, where I think, you know, through life, that's where we have to discover too, where did we have our experiences and what did we learn from them? And so the same thing can go with relationships. Looking back at the ones that I've had relationships with, you know, what were the pros and cons there, and what did I value out of those relationships? What did I gain from them? Being myself stuck in a relationship that wasn't good for me for fear of, you know, hurting somebody else. So I hope I answered that question okay.
So, I mean, in a way, you know, when you started describing going back in each example and finding the pros and cons, what was good and what wasn't good, I mean, it seems that by doing that process, when you highlight the good, that seems to then support what would be, you know, like the beneficial belief, you know, system, or, you know, the what would contribute to a positive belief system versus the negative, obviously, you know, being, you know, what wasn't. So when you go through that process, do you then look at, I mean, because as I'm visualizing this right now, I can see, you know, the pros and cons. And I've actually, you know, way back when, I used that kind of system for lots of decision making for myself. I mean, one of my first ones was I was going to school in upstate New York in college, and I got a scholarship for California, for a private school in California, and I mean, one would think that it would be a no-brainer, you know, really to do that. But some of my pros and cons were weighted, you know, in the sense that, you know, there were some that were more emotionally, you know, had emotional attachment to and that kind of thing. So and basically what I did is, you know, listed them, weighted them, added it up, and whichever one won, you know. Now, I'm thinking subconsciously I probably gave a lot more weight to the California than maybe, you know. But it's, to me, it was one of those ways of gaining clarity as to really what it was that would be in my best interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so let me ask you, too, with that decision, did you end up going to California?
I did. Oh, yeah, right away.
Okay. And some of the emotional part, right, and I'm wondering, you know, how was your family affected by that? Your parents, I'm assuming, were out east with you.
It was one of those cases, the family being back there and then not knowing many people on the West Coast. And as a matter of fact, it was, you know, I got the letter, and I was going to school in Oswego, New York, which is right up on Lake Ontario, and it's right in the dead of winter where, you know, you had to use the tunnels to go to the dining room because there was so much snow. And the letter said that I was accepted for, you know, session one. They had a very different kind of semester thing, but session one. So I thought, oh, that's it. You know, I'm going to get out there, and come September, I'm going to be ready and raring to go. And without even checking, I didn't realize that session one actually began like the following year. So I had like 3 months of having to adjust. But it was kind of funny because, it, you know, once that decision was made, then, you know, then I was able to, you know, kind of go with it, and if I had any reservation pop up, then it was, you know, I could easily counter that with, you know, what the pluses were. So it really did change a lot of my beliefs in a way of, you know, this was the first time I was actually on the West Coast, and you know, would I be able to adjust, you know, all those kinds of things. My belief was that, you know, I might not be able to. I mean, I had a contingency to come back. But then, you know, once I got out there and realized, you know, so I think that particular move for me in that process set up a belief system so that later, you know, with later in life when I had other similar kinds of experiences, I could kind of relate back to that, you know, and it kind of served as kind of a new a shift in belief.
Yes, I love that. It sounds very much like this was a leap of faith that you were taking, and you know, and how terrifying it must have been to some degree going from one coast to another, but then just trusting that this was going to be the right decision. And I think that's fantastic. I love to hear people take and stretch themselves beyond their comfort zone.
It does, yeah. Yeah, and I've been stretching that comfort zone a lot. But you know, that and you know, when you in your book you talk about, you know, you updating your beliefs constantly. So my question for you is, you know, I mean, you have obviously gone through the process where you have shifted some of your beliefs, you know, or updated them. So now the question is it become easier for you, number one, to recognize when a belief isn't serving you well, and then is it easier to change it because you've done it before?
Yes. Yes. I think just like anything else, to something, the better we come at it and the quicker it comes. So my ability to manifest, you know, an experience or a being or anything that I'm wishing for in my life and desiring to have, I'm able to acquire them much more quickly because of my method that I use. And it's very much like this power of positive thinking that we were talking about, literally being very aware of where my thoughts are at, and even just starting there, saying to myself, what energy am I bringing to my experience? And is it positive energy or is it negative? And this is where I've become really, really good at it. Where I recognize what I'm thinking about and what I'm even, you know, speaking out loud. And also the same thing when I'm journaling to my God and my angels and instead of asking for something, I specifically am already thanking them for receiving it before I've even received it. So that's where the process really gets sped up quickly, when you just automatically know that you will receive what you are asking for. And that's why you must always be thinking positively, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to be thinking negatively because we could bring that to us. And once you become really, you know, aware of your thoughts and your feelings, when you get to the feeling part, that's a whole nother level of receiving.
Yeah.
And so, and even thinking back about this experience, receiving this letter with a scholarship, can you remember how you felt, Robert,
when you got that letter?
Right?
Ecstatic.
I mean, I could almost feel like you're feeling it again, right? Thinking about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the things that I wish for my readers to get to that place in their lives where they can be very aware of even how they're feeling, because that's where we can say to ourselves, well, what is the belief? What is it that I'm believing right now? And if you're feeling fantastic, then that's a good place to be with what you're mm-hmm. believing. And you know, those times where you're just feeling horrible, then you have to kind of start thinking about that. What is it that I'm believing about this experience? And that's a good way for people to kind of realize that, okay, maybe it's like that intuition, right? Where you've got that gut feeling, and then being brave enough to say, this doesn't feel good, this needs to change, and is there a belief here that I maybe need to update or tweak, right?
Yeah. Now, you've talked about, you know, the writing the letter to God and or angels about what it is that you want manifested, and to write it from a point of having already received that. How, you know, a lot of people may have difficulty with writing in a present tense that something has been received when, obviously, or when, you know, their outer experience doesn't show that. So how do you write that letter in a way that, you know, you can kind of recognize that this is already a done deal, you know, kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, maybe what you're asking for is relief from some kind of outward pressure that you intensely feel. So how do you kind of manage that?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, this is being very aware of what you're writing. And it does, again, take practice, okay? So it goes from, you know, asking for something in your life, but then as you, and you know, the one thing I want for everyone to appreciate and understand is there is no, you can't journal wrong, okay? There's no right way or wrong way to write things, right? So I don't want anybody to feel pressure when they're writing. I want it just to be free-flowing. But sometimes you have to come and then maybe go back and read what you wrote, and then you realize you're saying, oh, here I'm asking for something versus already thanking for receiving. And so slow but sure, you'll get into that habit of already thanking,
right,
you know, their higher power, their spirit guide, for what it is that they want to receive. So So for instance, this is just a small example, but I come from a family of hunters, and my fiance is a hunter, and he has taught me how to manifest. And one of the things that I, my first year out turkey hunting, for instance, I have what I call my manifestation station, and I light my candle, and I literally have a little teeny turkey, and I actually write in my journal, you know, dear God and my angels, and thank you for the turkey that I have harvested today, and thank you for his life, and that I'm able to feed my family. And that day when I went out hunting, I harvested my turkey. So it's little things like that. Or it's as simple as driving my kids to school a few years back, and it would take us either 5 minutes to get to school or, you know, 12 minutes, depending on how many lights we were going to catch, red or green. Right? So there's routine practices there where I said, okay, kids, let's, you know, green light fairies to keep all the lights green. You know? And this is a great, actually, experience for my children to actually experience with me, because we giggle so hard when we get to school and we've hit every green light. And so I said, see, ask and you shall receive, right? So it's been fun, and the same thing happens even like in the parking lot. I always get the front parking space. And it's so funny when I have others traveling with me, because sure as a whirl, I'll pull right up and there's the front spot open. And my friends will be, or family are, how do you do this? And I said, well, because I'm already expecting to receive that. You know? So it can be those little things. And it just, it takes practice. But I think it's really fun, too, because if you've written these things down, there's proof in the pudding that you can share with others. Like, I already asked for this, and look, I actually received it. And here's the date and the time that I actually wrote this, you know.
Yeah,
so, and it really does. And I tell my children the same thing. Or, like, here's another fun example of, let's say someone's interviewing for a job. And before that interview, I would suggest that that individual already write a thank you for receiving that job offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stuff can start small and try it all out and believe that they were the perfect candidate for that job.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Roxanne, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to ask Roxanne any question, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, feel free to pose a question, and we'll get to that when we come back. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, my very special guest today is Roxanne Tumala, and we're talking about her new book, The Belief Challenge, How to Update Your Beliefs and Connection with Your Angels. And Roxanne's book is available at Amazon.com. And just a reminder that as of last week, our podcast is available on TuneIn, which is an app on virtually every smartphone, and also Amazon's Echo and Google Home. So you can just ask Alexa to play Bringing Inspiration to Earth. So check it out. So, okay, with that, we're back, Roxanne.
Yes.
Okay, great. We do have a caller with a question for you, and his name is Tim, and he's calling from New York. So, hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Roxanne?
I'm well, Tim. How are you?
I'm well. So I just had a question in regards to me bringing all this manifestation in my life that I've been not attempting. I'm trying to guard my words that I know is there waiting for me. I'm definitely going to get your book. I was just wondering if you had any tips for me, per se, in regards to what I've been doing is I've been nightly. I'm trying to get consistently do it night in the morning. I've been just talking to my guides, per se, and just asking them for some holy intervention guiding me along this to a new job or a new career path. And I'm definitely going to get the book. I'm just wondering if you had anything to add that might just assist me in this process.
Yes, yes. So, Tim, I would, first of all, I'm going to mention that if you don't, I should ask you, do you journal at all?
I do not. I tried doing the I can't remember what you call it, the automatic writing, but I didn't really see results, so I kind of gave it up. But no, I do not.
Okay. Well, this might be something that, you know, you might want to try. And, you know, either, you know, pick up a journal for yourself, a blank journal, and or you can simply start off with just paper and pen. And do you have a job interview coming up?
No, I do not have any. That's the problem. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. So I don't have anything up as of yet.
Okay, all right. Well, one of the things that I like for individuals to do when they're trying to find the proper or the their purpose and the perfect career for themselves is to sit down and write out all the jobs you've already had in your life. And I would love for you to then, next to those jobs, write what experience you had at that particular job. And what were the things that you loved about it? And what were the things that you weren't so crazy about it? And this might help you also understand what brought you the most joy and pleasure in a past job. And perhaps that's an area that you should be still steering towards. And then I would love for you to also think deeply about what beliefs were instilled in you as a young man and what it is that you should be doing according to whomever. And so understanding maybe, or let me ask you this question, has there been any job that you've really enjoyed and that you'd perhaps like to do again?
Not at all, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay. And what do you think might be the belief behind the jobs you've taken?
Well, I definitely know the belief. The belief as of late has just been survival, or what I deem survival. So, hey, let me take this job. But then I end up being in it for years and still being not fulfilled or treated as I think I should be. So I'm really seeing it's to my detriment.
Yes, yes. And so how could you possibly change the belief of, if I understand you correctly, that oftentimes you were just taking a job because it was to survive?
Yes,
and,
I was just speaking to that, yeah.
Okay, and so what if you were to revise that belief where you could say, no matter what I'm going to do, I am a survivor, I will survive, and I can actually have an opportunity in a career which I will receive great abundance. Is that something that you know, that you'd
yes,
maybe, you could
something.
Actually, yes, and
yes,
that's what I would
I
love for you to even, you know, write to your spirit guide and say, thank you for the job that I have received, which is providing me great abundance, and that you know that as long as you can provide for yourself, and I don't know if you have family, but once everyone's needs are met, you'll have such abundance that you can help others.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I can definitely
right?
do that.
I mean, yeah, and I think that oftentimes there's this belief that folks that if I'm extremely wealthy, that's, you know, that could maybe be a belief that's a negative thing, and it's not. It's not. As long as, you know, you're able to provide for others, and think about how the chances to even be able to tithe more to one's church, right, for an example, and or if your needs are met, now you have abundance which you could help someone else or an organization, you know, where you can donate. And wouldn't that feel amazing?
Indeed it would.
So,
yeah,
think about...
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I just wanted to step in for 1 second, Roxanne.
Please.
Now, with Tim, when you mentioned, you know, that there wasn't any... when you thought back as far as, you know, any particular positives with the job, one of the things that you may want to tap into is, you know, even beyond the job, you know, what made you laugh? What made you happy? What brought you joy? I mean,
mm-hmm.
just those elements. Now, they may not have been part of a job in the past, but they can easily be elements of a future job. So that may help, you know, kind of identifying the characteristics of what that new job might be.
Yes, I love that, Robert.
Okay, got it.
Got it. And now, Roxanne, one of the things that you mentioned, we've been talking about, is you know, writing as if you've received it. And I understand, you know, the idea that it's it already happening. For me, just because my those negative beliefs are so ingrained that it was really hard for me to make the shift, I mean, you know, to writing as having it be already been received. So I did a one step in between before doing, and I did that, but I did one step in between that, and that was thank God, the angels, guides, for bringing to me that opportunity, you know, so that it was like,
yes.
In one sense, it was like, I'm open, the door is open, there it is, I'm ready to receive, thank you for bringing it to me, you know, and I can, for me personally, I could really get emotionally attached, or I can really internalize that emotionally in that sense. And then once I got that first glimpse of what that would be, then I would move into thank you for the receiving, you know, thank you, you know, for receiving. But for me, it was
absolutely
that. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if you have difficulty saying that you've received it, try, you know, thanking and acknowledging it coming to you.
Yes,
okay.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
Got
and there
it.
Really is no right or wrong way to do it. It's just, and I think what you said too, Robert, so important is being very aware of feelings and things that make you have that joy in your heart and a smile on your face and a peace that can come over you. And I loved what you were saying to Tim about thinking about that. What other areas of your life has brought that feeling to you? Because when you're in that place of feeling, it's a stronger energy that is allowing you to receive and to let things flow to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tim, I know that you indicated that you weren't necessarily a writer or journaler, but one of the things that I found, I've done a couple of books, but when it comes to journaling, that wasn't something that I typically did. But one of the things that I found is once I started, you know, like you talk, you say, like at night you communicate to your guides what it is that you want. You kind of chat, you know, with them. By putting it on paper, for me, what happened was is that, you know, after I did it for like a week and a half, asking for, you know, a particular manifestation that I wanted, what I found was is that it became so ingrained in my thoughts that, I mean, it was natural. I mean, so when you're talking, it kind of like goes into the ethers, you know. But when you write it down, there's that extra step that your brain, you know, kind of makes an imprint on your brain, and it makes it even all that much stronger. So maybe you can do a dialogue on, you know, on paper with those guys at night.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Well,
great.
Thank you
and
for
then,
calling in, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
And
then listen in, because the next question that I'm going to ask Roxanne, I think, might be a benefit for you, too. So hold on there.
You got it.
Okay, great. So, and thank you, Roxanne, for taking Tim's question and answering it. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Now, one of the things you talk about in your book is creating a manifestation station. So I would love for you to talk about what that is. And to me, it's probably something that Tim can create for himself and already, you know, get a stop at that station today if he wanted.
Exactly. So, it's, again, there's not a whole lot of pressure on how someone would put together a manifestation station for themselves. But what I like to see, it's almost like an altar, if you will. And I would suggest that folks get it start with a candle, and I like to have angel figurines within my manifestation station. And then I also will bring in like other figurines of the things that I'm trying to manifest in my life. For instance, with the turkey. And I manifested the home that I'm living in with my family by buying a little teeny house from like a Michael's craft shop or Joanne Fabric, somewhere where they're going to have or like ornaments. At Christmas time, I have a blast buying beautiful Christmas ornaments that are, it could be a little cabin, that's something that someone's manifesting, a cabin on a lake, or you can pick up something even like I had a gal that was looking for a job, and one of the manifestation stations I put together for her, believe it or not, I found a working Barbie doll. And in her little box of goodies was a little computer and a cell phone and, you know, little file folders and things like that. So I start off, you know, it's small because I just have it in a special space in my home. But I have the candle, I have my angel, and then I have that little unique ornament that represents what it is that I'm trying to manifest. And I like it because it's a visual. For people to have that extra level of concentration on what it is that they're trying to manifest into their life. For instance, that house that I had, I wrote on a piece of paper that I was wanting to manifest the perfect home for my family and myself. And I even had a little dog figurine because I wanted us to be able to have a single family home so that we could get a dog that we've been wanting to have. And sure as a whirl, here we are in our beautiful home, and we got our puppy a year ago. And so it's all these things that I have been so grateful to be able to manifest into my life. And this is what I also do for others, is I will actually make manifestation stations for people if they, you know, if they can't quite do it themselves. So that's one of the things that I offer, you know, for my clients. Or same thing with even the hockey coaching that I was doing. And having found, believe it or not, it's an air blowing popcorn machine. But it was the only thing that I could find because they don't have little ornaments like that. But sure, so I used that for, you know, helping my son with his hockey and his tournaments and helping him manifest wins. And so I hope that, you know, I'd love to make a manifestation station for you, Robert, for having me on your show today. And so perhaps we can talk about that in an email conversation, or I would love to know what it was you'd love to manifest in your life, and I would love to put one together for you.
I would appreciate that. You know, and it's great because, you know, it sounds like, and you know, I like the idea of having that that station. I mean, it seems that the more senses that we can engage, you know, the writing is the tactile, the visual, the station, the, you know, the voice and hearing is the auditory, you know, as far as our, what our desires are. It seems that the more senses that we use to focus on that, to focus that intention, then the more likely it becomes ingrained within us, then the external can make that, can bring that into an existence.
Yes, exactly. And talking about all the senses, and the same thing with the candle that you choose, if it has a particular scent.
Well,
because then, right, and then you can always, let's say it's lavender or something, then when that thing or that experience or the person that you're trying to manifest, that smell can also bring back that joy. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder of, this is how I felt when I received. And yeah, I think it's really important, you're absolutely right, to have all of our senses very heightened.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that would be the case. And you know, and it all I think really just points to getting that clarity, you know, within, and that that belief within, you know, to kind of do away with as many reservations or obstacles that will appear, you know, during the process.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
Right.
Now, one of the things that you also talk about in the book is about doing a belief check. Is that kind of like a body check of your belief systems, so to speak?
Yeah. And it's, again, kind of being very cognizant of what beliefs were instilled and are they still serving you well?
Okay. And so, I mean, you know, in your book, you break it down to, like, relationships, career. I mean, you have, you know, various areas of life. So would you recommend working on, I mean, if people have challenges in multiple areas of their life, you know, career, family, relationships, spouse, partner, would you recommend kind of like working on one area at a time, or maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, what I typically tell my readers when they pick up my book is that I would recommend that they read it from cover to cover the first time, and then go back and pick the chapter of their life that they are wanting to make a change. So, and I believe too that when we are happy in our relationships,
mm-hmm.
and we feel love in those relationships, whether, you know, it's a significant other, a spouse, a child, parent experience, if we feel love, that is also an incredible level of energy of receiving. So when we have love in our life, the other things are easier to manifest into it, because I believe that love is the highest energy. And we, and that too, making sure that where's our love with our spirit guide? Do we have that love? And so I like to, you know, I think that, and it could go the same way, you know, that when a relationship is not going well, it seems like it really affects all areas of our life.
It does. Yes, it does.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's, yeah, it's definitely not a book that, you know, you have to do chapter by chapter in any particular order. It is definitely one of these things, or it could be maybe it's health and that too. When we have our health, everything else seems to go well as well, right? So when we are feeling healthy and we're taking good care of our bodies, you know, whatever we're even putting into our bodies, when we're healthy, well, then now we're feeling attractive. Therefore, our relationships are even going better, right? So they all play a part with each other, but sometimes maybe it's, hey, I can't do my job really well if I'm not at my best because I'm not taking care of myself with regards to my health. So it's a way for people to, you know, decide, yes, let's work on one thing at a time. I feel that that's worked well for me. When my folks both passed away at a young age, and that was over 20, you know, plus years ago, I said to myself, well, I'm not going to let this happen to me. So therefore I'm going to take very good care of myself. Cause I want to live a long life where I'm healthy. And that's where my journey started with the health, is taking care of myself first and making sure that I was healthy. And that just changed so many areas of my life for the better.
Yeah.
And so once my health was on track. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once your health is on track, then everything else kind of starts to fit in. And like whenever I do New Year's, you know, wish everybody New Year's, I always start with a year of good health first. You know, then come happiness and abundance. But I mean, you know, to me, and just because I've seen the devastation, you know, that poor health can bring into someone's life, and you know, that's in good health and taking care of yourself is one of the most ultimate expressions of self-love that you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where that love has to start, right? Is exactly, absolutely right. And when you love yourself, then you have that great energy I'm talking about to manifest other things into your life. And yeah, the love has to start with oneself. Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Absolutely. So now, what would you say, kind of for a final question here, what would you say that you hope that the readers are going to take away from reading The Belief Challenge?
I would like for my readers to know that they do have the power to live the life that they are dreaming of. And by taking time to recognize beliefs that were instilled in them and finding the courage to say, it's okay if I update this or change this belief. And I would love for, once they are able to manifest that one particular thing into their life, that they realize that, and once that's happened, then they can continue to do it in all areas of their life. And most important too, is that I want them to have a very powerful connection with their spirit guide, angels, and know that they are there waiting. They're waiting for their requests. That's their job. They're waiting to hear from these individuals that what is it that you want, and let's have it happen.
Yep, I agree. You know, you really have to open up the door. You know, if you really want it to come in, you've kind of let it be known, you know, that is what you want. And you know, also I think it's important to keep in mind that you really want things that are for your highest good, you know, in recognizing that, you know, sometimes what we feel we want, you know, it reminds me of that old Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. You know, it was like, you know, the idea of sometimes we ask or pray for something, but, you know, in the long run, maybe something better that we didn't even consider is around the corner, you
yes.
know, for us, waiting
yes.
for us.
Yes, that is so true.
Well, I want to thank you, Roxanne. This has been a great chat, and I do like your the book, the workbook format, in a way where, you know, where you ask questions for people to ponder and then write, you know. And again, for Tim, that might be a good thing. You know, once he gets the book, it'll kind of help him in the writing process, you know, because sometimes,
yes.
you know, when people sit down to write, you just don't know where to begin, you know. But ask me a question, you know, we go back to the school days, you know, teacher gives you a question and you write the essay.
Exactly right. And that's, and thank you for pointing that out. People certainly can get the book in an e-format, and, you know, they could write down their answers on paper or in a journal, but I think by actually having the book in hand and being able to write in there is helpful. But that's exactly what I want for people is, yes, really delve deep into these questions and feel very open and honest with what your answer is, because that's
yeah.
where you're going to see the change happen. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah. And if you get the book and you fill it in, nothing's to prevent you from just retyping those questions on another sheet of paper to print for later for the new beliefs to be challenged and updated.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right.
Yep. Well, thank you again, Roxanne, for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Likewise, Robert. I thank you so much for this opportunity. And let me know what kind of manifestation station I could put together for you.
Okay. I'll think about that.
To say thank you.
There's so many.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks again. I appreciate that. And I'll follow up with you.
Very good. Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Roxanne Tumala. We've been talking about her book, The Belief Challenge, How to Update Your Beliefs and Connection with Your Angels. And again, her book is available from Amazon.com. So go there right now and purchase it and start updating those beliefs. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.